o'clock here on The Fan here on this very busy Wednesday. Ryan Fitzpatrick used to play for Brian Flores. He had some interesting comments about the coaching candidate that, you know, I prefer. I prefer Mike Vrabel, number one, but I also realize he's probably not going to be the head coach of the Jets. It's likely to be someone else. So if you take Vrabel away, Flores atops my list. And we'll take a listen to what Ryan Fitzpatrick got to say coming up this hour. Sean's got his Cinco de Fivo list at 5 o'clock. And, of course, we talk to you at 888-808-1019. Tiki.
Yes.
I have eyes and ears everywhere. You understand me?
I do.
I have eyes and ears everywhere. So, I got a text message from my mother-in-law. Oh. My mother-in-law is a huge fan of Oidia on Telemundo. For the audience, you may not be aware, but yesterday, what were you doing? Or 2 days ago, what were you doing?
2 days ago, I was at MetLife Stadium doing a promo with Genesis, I forget her last name.
Tiki Barber here.
For Verizon.
Yes.
So Verizon is doing the largest Super Bowl party ever.
This is Tiki Barber.
I heard about that.
There will be Super Bowl parties in, I think, 30 stadiums. Or no, 30 teams. Because they share, two teams share stadiums,
right,
obviously. So 29, 30 stadiums across the country for Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes.
And I'm hosting one at MetLife Stadium.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And so there's going to be more people at these Verizon parties. And by the way, if you're a Verizon customer, guess what? It's free.
I am a Verizon customer,
so
actually,
it's free for you. You can come hang out.
Very
nice. There'll be more people at these Verizon Super Bowl parties at their fan fests than at the actual Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
It's going to be awesome.
How
so
about that?
So I did a promo with Genesis.
Yes, you did. Would you guys like to hear his interview with Genesis? We have the audio for our Spanish-speaking audience. I think you'll enjoy it. And for those that don't know Spanish, don't worry. I am here to translate. So, ladies and gentlemen, clip number one, Genesis welcoming Tiki Barber.
Mi día comenzó con uno de los grandes, Tiki Barber. Tiki, gracias por estar aquí.
My pleasure.
So she said, my day started with one of the greats, Tiki Barber. Thanks for being here. And you were very, very excited. You said, great to be here.
My pleasure.
Here's clip number two of Tiki Barber on Telemundo.
Tiki Barber, para que me diera unos cuantos tips de etiqueta de cómo celebrar una fiesta para el Super Bowl. ¿Invitarías a una pareja de exes a una fiesta del Super Bowl, ya que es demasiado grande?
Hold on, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Before we listen to Tiki's answer, do you know what she asked you?
Yes.
She said, I talked to Tiki Barber on asking him tips on how to celebrate the Super Bowl. So I asked him, would you invite an ex to the party, given the party is so big and you likely wouldn't cross paths?
No, no.
What kind of question is that?
He even misunderstood it, and he lives in a Spanish language household.
I misunderstood it.
Would you invite two exes?
Oh, two
given
exes.
Given the party is so big.
That's even worse.
And they might not interact with one another. So now you have to hear my answer.
Okay, well, before we get to the answer, to Genesis, who does a great job. What a freaking question. Mm. Like, can you imagine asking anybody? All right, so you're having a party. Question number one, thanks for being here. Question number two, would you invite two exes to the party? Because they may see each other. Like, what kind of show is this?
Hey.
And by the way, I know the answer.
What's that?
Because my mother-in-law told me all about Genesis.
Mm.
Two things about her. And tell me if they're true.
Because I know nothing.
Number one, she's very flirty.
I mean,
Tiki.
She's not. She just was friendly.
This is what my mother-in-law said to me. It has nothing to do with you. She's very flirty.
This is from her previous knowledge of Jennifer.
She watches her all the time.
Oh, okay.
She's very flirty in general. Okay. By the way, I'd agree. I thought she was flirting in the interview, which I'm not judging her for.
But was Miss New York? Miss something like that?
That does not surprise me.
Miss something. Or
yeah, I believe that.
She won one of those beauty contests.
She's very flirty and, according to my mother-in-law, scandalous. Like, she likes to push the envelope on the things she talks about. So, like, saying if two exes came, I don't know what she thought was going to happen. Like, I started thinking about that for myself. Like, first of all, I wouldn't invite an ex anywhere. Mm. Like, about seeing them or my exes seeing each other? Why the hell am I inviting my exes anywhere?
I think it's like ex-girlfriend that you're not, like, adversarial relationship with.
I'm not adversarial.
That's how I took it.
All right, well, here's the question again, and you get to hear Tiki's answer. Go ahead, Genesis.
Tiki Barber, para que me diera unos cuantos tips de etiqueta de cómo celebrar una fiesta para el Super Bowl. ¿Invitarías a una pareja de exes a una fiesta del Super Bowl, ya que es demasiado grande y no creo que van a cruzar caminos.
Ah, sí, pero I'll make sure they are far apart, and if they get close together, you gotta go to the door.
You'll just leave.
So separate them.
Yes.
And if they get close together, get the hell out.
Just leave.
Boy, this is some interview. I'm enjoying it. Do you guys like this so far?
I love it. I'm very intrigued by Genesis here.
She's tremendous. Here's clip number three from Genesis.
Interesante. ¿Preferirías quedarte sin bebida o sin silla para tus invitados?
Make sure your favorite ex has a chair and then leave.
Tienes que tratarlo igual, Tiki.
And go get more drinks.
Come on.
So the way I took that was, her answer was interesting. Would you prefer to be without a drink or without a seat for a guest?
Yes.
That was the question?
Yes.
Did they tell you ahead of time or did you know what she was saying?
No, I knew what she was going to ask.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't know until the moment
right.
what she was going to ask. But they told it to me in English and then she did it in Spanish.
So I'm right so far about what she was asking?
Yes.
For the most part?
Yes. Would you rather have two little seats or no drinks? And I said, make sure your favorite ex has a seat. And then go get a drink.
Who has a favorite ex, by the way? You guys have favorite exes?
Of course.
Lukey does.
Yeah,
Lukey definitely does.
I just found it, you know, two exes, Genesis. We want to watch the Super Bowl. I don't need that kind of stress in my life.
It's added stress for no reason
do
whatsoever.
Do you really care about watching the Super Bowl?
I do.
Excuse me?
I do.
Do you?
Yes. Absolutely.
Are you just kind of there absorbing it?
No, if people watch Super Bowl with me and they're talking, I tell them to shut up.
So, lesson to everybody. If Tiki Barber throws a party, go to Tiki's party. Not Sean Marash's.
And invite your exes.
Party.
No.
And you're saying you don't care about the Super Bowl?
Not really. Unless my team is playing in it, it's just a party.
Interesting. Yeah, you know what?
It's just a game.
You know why that makes sense? Other than like the Eagles being involved, which obviously mm-hmm. there's a passion towards, you're betting on it, Sean. A part of your interest is elevated by the gambling. Tiki don't gamble on these games.
No.
Yeah.
So it's just a game. And if there's anything I need to find out about it, I'll just dial up True Media Networks, and I'll find it.
That's true. He's got access to these games.
What I've learned as the years have gone by is the football games are so minimal and the weeks are so fleeting that I feel like it's your last chance to enjoy it for a while.
How many years left do you have on this earth?
Who knows? This could be my last month.
Let's improve that diet, Tiki.
He's fat!
I'm going to say at least 40.
Thank you.
You've got a ton of football to watch still.
All right, you're 40. That's like two franchise quarterbacks.
Mostly bad. Mostly bad football to watch. Here's another clip from Tiki on Telemundo.
¿Qué harías si tienes dos hermanos bajo el mismo techo apoyando equipos rivales?
Soy Amelo.
Oh.
So I know this. I played for one team. My brother played for another team. You just let them fight.
Todo es pelea.
So the question was, if you have two brothers under the same roof rooting for different teams, what do you do?
Yes. And I said, I'm a twin. Emilio. Soy Emilio. So she said, so I know this. Just let him fight.
He did a hell of a job, man. He's getting through this incredibly well.
That's it. That's because I spent the whole time saying, ¿Cómo se dice?
He was prepared. Right, here's another moment.
Tiki, escuché por ahí que hay una fiesta grande y súper importante pasando para el Super Bowl.
Sí, a grand. Verizon is having a fan fest here and everywhere. And I'll be here at MetLife Stadium on Super Bowl Sunday having a party with people all over. Ven conmigo a la fiesta.
Vamos.
They started dancing at this point, by the way, which I thought was awesome. You know what I realized? And it's not just you. I do this, too.
Uh-huh.
When you're talking to somebody in a different language than their first language, we talk to them as if they're children.
Yes.
Like, we talk slow.
No doubt.
And careful. It's like, okay, Spence, so now you're going to do this. Uh-huh. That's what we all do. She does it. We do it. We all do it. So that's where Tiki got his promotion for the party. And here's the last question, and this is my favorite part. Right.
Para que me enseñes dos jugadas para yo mostrarle a mis amigos.
I'm going to teach you dos.
Dos?
Yes. First, to catch.
La primera, agarrar la bola.
Yes. But then, to stiff arm. Don't swing, just stick your arm out, but you have to hit my head. Catch.
El balón en mis manos.
Get your head out of the gutter.
Ya soy todo terreno.
Dude, this was amazing. She's like, can you show me some moves?
Did you show her the fat rooster at MetLife Stadium?
I did not.
That was tremendous. Great show. It was a great appearance.
Thank you.
Are you surprised I found out about it?
No. Knowing that you live in a Mexican-American house, I should not have been surprised.
Ah, man. Listen, Idea's on the DVR, baby. We're all over it. Mm-hmm. So what's funny is that...
Now, she's a regular?
Yeah, she's like a regular host, and she's very flirty and scandalous. That's the way it was described of me.
It's flirty and scandalous. What does that even mean?
That she
flirty, I get, but scandalous?
Like she'll try to ask scandalous
she
questions.
She likes to gossip. She likes to stir the pot up.
That's what she said. Very gossipy.
Yeah, gossipy.
But what I thought was amazing is that I'm driving to work yesterday, and my wife, it was actually my wife who texted it to me. My mother-in-law texted it to my wife, and my wife texted me and was like, look at this. And it's just videos of Tiki Barber on Telemundo. And my obsession for the last 24 hours was finding like good audio quality so we could examine and explore it. So thank you to my mother-in-law. Yes. And by the way, coincidentally, to my mother-in-law named Sylvia, mm-hmm. happy birthday. Today's her birthday.
Happy birthday, Sylvia.
So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Very nice. Happy birthday, and thank you very much so that we all could share the joy of Tiki talking Espanol on Telemundo.
Un poquito.
Just a little poquito. Did a hell of a job. Did better than Sean would have done, that's
gracias,
for damn sure.
Señor. Mi amigo.
99 of my Spanish regions.
No way.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Did you cheat?
No, pure luck. I don't know how I did it.
A 99?
By the way, I did really well on my... ACT, is that what it is? ACT, whichever one you have to take when you graduate high school and going into college to get placement when you go to college. Didn't take another class, and I forgot all of it.
Yeah.
If you don't use Spanish, you forget it.
That's the problem.
So you can understand it a little bit, but you can't speak it.
The thing about languages is once you learn it, you got to keep using it. If you stop using it, you're completely right. You'll forget.
Right.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. We'll get into what Ryan Fitzpatrick had to say. Very interesting comments about one of the prospective Jet head coaches, Brian Flores, coming up in the next 15 minutes. Jack is in Secaucus. How are you, Jack?
What up, Jack?
Hey there, guys. Hola, Tiki.
Hola, señor.
¿Cómo está?
¿Cómo está?
Hey. Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in on why the Jets should keep Aaron Rodgers for another season. A lot of people are saying that they want Aaron to be grooming the next quarterback, and I think that's already what's going on with Jordan Travis. But I would think they should let it run it back for another season, and then if the wheels start falling off, maybe around like Black Friday or something like that, then you make the shift over to the rookie QB. I would really like to see him get a fair shot. The last thing he saw was winning at FSU, and I know he took a really bad leg injury, but I think that the comeback story would be something that would be awesome to see. So I want to hear what you guys think about that.
It's not a bad plan, Jack, because as we talked about briefly earlier, the Jets don't have an expectation for success or failure like the Giants do. Now, I don't even remember what Jordan Travis's draft prospectus was like last year, because it wasn't like he was going to get drafted.
Well, what was it prior to the injury? Do you remember, Sean?
He was going to be like end of second round, high third round.
Yeah, like a project, a little bit of a project, and then he got a major leg injury, and I thought we would see him by training camp, and it just didn't. It never happened.
Yeah, we never. I think he had a setback, and he was never really on the radar this season.
So that worries you because it's a health thing, but he was dynamic at Florida State. The question is, with that leg injury, is he still dynamic?
I think,
and I don't have an answer to that.
I think the way our last call laid it out is, it's wonderful in that world you described, because it's similar to the world we're describing with the Giants, where Aaron's back, he's a caretaker, he gives you the best chance to win.
Right.
There are two major negatives attached to the Jets bringing Rodgers back that doesn't involve the New York Giants. Number one, a first-time head coach. I think it is likelier than not that they are hiring a first-time head coach, and I think it is an awesome responsibility, and not awesome in a good way, like huge responsibility, to have a Hall of Fame quarterback who's got a big kind of air about him as the guy that you're sort of controlling in year one when there may be a moment where you say, we're going to bench you for a young player.
Yeah.
I think that's a very tough environment. Well, if this was a veteran head coach, I think it's a little bit different.
Right. I think the challenge with Aaron Rodgers is that you're not going to be able to do that easily. With the Kurt Warner situation that we talked about earlier, Kurt was playing relatively well. We were 5-4. It's not like we were horrendous at that point. It's like, all right, this makes no sense. Let's just bench Kurt and start Eli. It was like a predetermined, this is going to be Eli's
time. Yeah, I think he knew that going in.
Yeah, right. I don't think you can do that with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that goes over as seamlessly as it did with the Giants 20 years ago.
I think it goes over better if it's Mike Vrabel. I think it goes over better if it's Pete Carroll. I think it's tough with a young head coach.
Aaron Rodgers, like, can you hear the Pat McAfee conversation the subsequent week if he gets benched for some rookie or some young player and he's not even playing poorly?
No, I get you.
It's just, it's going to be bad.
It's a concern to me, especially with a young coach. I think in the Giants' case, if he enters as a free agent, kind of like how they met Russ last year, they had a meeting with Russell Wilson. They talked about it.
Yeah.
And maybe they both agreed, it doesn't work for each side. If Aaron Rodgers signs with the New York Giants, he'd be doing it with a full understanding. That's number one. Number two, the other thing that is big is the cap implications.
Yeah.
The Jets have a chance, if they cut him, to take their medicine this season and move on from the Aaron Rodgers experiment and experience.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. It's big, but it's not.
It's big, but it's
like 47, 48.
But it's less than if you run it back for another year, unless you've completely redone the contract, which is possible if you get Aaron Rodgers on board for that. So the cap ramifications and the fact that I think it's likelier than not that a young head coach is running this team makes the situation with the Jets just different than the situation with the New York Giants, where you've got a coach and you have a GM that needs to win.
Yeah.
They were told by the owner the other day. We all heard it.
Yep.
They got to win.
Yeah. I mean, the challenge, though, is that the Jets actually have a roster in some places that could also win.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're not put together. They have terrible talent. They kind of have some talent.
Well, I think talent-wise, they're ahead of the Giants.
Of course they are. But so they could be in a position to go win. It's just going to have to be with a rookie head or a new head coach. Could be a rookie, could be a veteran. This is why some people prefer someone with experience.
Well, I think it changes, if we're being honest about the Aaron Rodgers discourse, if you're the Jets, it changes based on who the coach is. It really does.
Yeah.
It's different if it's Aaron Glenn versus if it's Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, pre and post, 49 pre, only 14 this year, post June 1.
But then you're dragging it out.
It's 35 the following year.
Right, I don't like that. Like, if I'm cutting Aaron Rodgers, I would take my medicine in the short term, even if it hampers what the Jets could do in 2025, just so that in 2026 you've cleared the books of him,
right,
and you're not carrying it. If Rodgers comes back for 25, now you're talking about your books being dirty in 26 and 27.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as simple as, all right, who gives you the best chance to win? He does, but you at least have to take into account. Not that it's the end-all be-all, but you have to take into account what it does to your future cap. That's why, and it's always fun when we do this, like with the Mets and the Yankees, the situations are different. So we talk about a player with the Mets, and we talk about a player with the Yankees, and it's a different conversation.
Yep.
I think it's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers.
No doubt.
It's a different conversation. Justin in Dobbs Ferry. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? A couple points here. One about Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'll take 27 touchdowns after seeing, you know, Daniel Jones's 10, 11, 12 touchdowns. A year, you know, I'll take 27, 30 touchdowns, you know, and seeing what he could do with, you know, neighbors having 1,100 yards with four of the worst probably quarterbacks in the NFL this year. So I'd love to see what he could do with Aaron Rodgers. But I had a second question here, Tiki, for you.
Go ahead.
You think with general manager and Dable, if it wasn't for this rotation of every 3 years, if, say, Schumer was here for the last 7 years, you think they would have had this leash, or they would have?
No, I think they probably would have said it doesn't feel right. He's saying it basically, if Pat Shurmur had been here for the last 7 years prior to 2022, and then Dave's is here for three, but the last two go like they did, I think they'd move on.
Interesting. By the way, Sean, can you do everybody a favor and the audience a favor? Please stand up. For those that are consuming us on SNY today, I'd like to ask SNY kindly to show the great Sean Morash, because Sean Morash is wearing something that is so beautiful. And I'm looking at it on the TV screen. It looks even better on TV. It is a giant L around his neck. Earlier in the show today,
wearing it proudly,
we presented him this beautiful L that the Tiki Barber daughters and wife kind of painted and bedazzled and made look very pretty. And because Sean committed a kind of a sports crime last week by stealing one of our caller's ideas and not admitting it, and then we played the audio to prove it, we've all agreed he needs to wear an L for the rest of today's show, plus Thursday and Friday. And this will be a thing that happens here at Evan and Tiki. We hold ourselves accountable. Not just Sean. We're not picking on Sean. All of us.
And I would like the audience to know, if you're just joining us on SMY, Evan did an entire hour open of an idea I had 3 days ago and didn't once mention me for that hour. But go on.
That is not true at all. But I will get back to the L that you're wearing. That's not true. But all of us will at some point probably wear this L.
Yes, you got to back up just another step.
Yeah, back up. People need to see the L.
Yeah, you got
to
see the full L. There
Thank
we go.
You. So
It's large.
There's a moment where Tiki will probably have to wear this L. Not sure what it's about yet, but he'll do something. He'll be wrong. He'll have to admit it. And we'll all say, wear that L. Tommy is destined to wear an L probably within the next, like, 72 hours. I'm destined to wear an L. But that is how we hold ourselves accountable around here. And if you want to use that idea amongst your friends, when you get something wrong, when you embarrass yourself, when you have a horrible, horrible opinion, or what have you, this is the new way to hold people accountable. It's going all across the nation now. You wear the L.
Yes, and if you want to go back and listen to this grand speech that Evan wrote and I delivered, rewind on the Odyssey app to 2:45 p.m.
Yes.
It was excellently written by AI and Evan. And excellently delivered.
Absolutely. Now, Sean will wear that L for the remainder of today, tomorrow, and Friday, unless someone else earns that L away from him.
Yeah.
I love that L. The only, I don't want to say negative, but what I found interesting about the L, because it's not a negative, is that it is very Giants-like.
Of course it is.
Oh, that was done on purpose?
I mean, you're Mets.
I am a Mets fan, yes.
Right. It kind of fits Mets, too, doesn't it?
It's got some Metsy flavor to it, some ABA Nets flavor to it. Yeah.
What do you think the Giant girls would do? You think they're going to put green and white on that thing?
Probably not.
Come on now.
But it looks good. They really did an outstanding job, and you did a great job with the rope that's now around.
It's also WFAN colors.
Oh, that's a great point.
The blue and red.
I not even think about that.
Being a team player.
Yeah, that's a beautiful L.
That's actually what Tracy said. That's because Tracy got the stuff.
Oh, she did a great job.
She was like, this is WFAN colors. That's why I went that color. I'm like, you know, Evan's going to be upset because there's no green in it.
Nah, you know what? Now that you explained it, it's actually a brilliant idea. My only question for you, Sean, and I will leave this up to you, because the only rule we have is you have to wear this for the remainder of the show and the remainder of the week. Will you wear this at home? Mm. Will you take this on the New York City subway? Will you take this on the LIRR? And my question to all you guys is, should he have to?
I think I'm going to make an executive decision to say the L needs to stay here.
It does.
It's going to get destroyed at home, and someone might accost you and steal the L. Or you might have to give it to them, like, because they take an L, they step to you. You get fierce with them. Next thing you know, you knock them out. You drop the L on them and just walk away.
In the subway system?
In the subway system.
You know, I like that idea, Tiki. I do like that idea. Also, if I bring it home, there's a good chance my dog eats half of it. That I got to come back and buy a new one.
So when you're done with the L, because you do have to wear it tomorrow and Friday, just for the record, please place it in either my office or Tiki's office.
Or my locker. Put it in my locker.
You have a locker?
I have a locker. Right here.
Number 21.
Number 21. Throw it in the 21 locker. That will be its home.
Throw it in the 21 locker, and then it is your responsibility tomorrow prior to 2 o'clock to take the L out and place it back around your neck until someone else earns that L. Which, by the way, you are earning again. I'll just leave it at that.
Wow.
There's something else that you're doing that is earning an L.
Oh, I'm taking a big W right now on social media on Eagles fans, so I don't know what else is going on.
Yeah, no, that's the L I'm talking about. He's fighting with Eagle fans.
Why are you fighting with Eagle fans?
I'm going to tell you right now, Tiki, because this take is, I've never been more right on a take in my life.
Okay, let's hear it.
The core of the Philadelphia Eagles, the blood and guts of that team, including the coach and quarterback, 2 years ago went to a Super Bowl with Miles Sanders as their running back.
Mm-hmm.
They paid and backloaded a contract to Saquon Barkley. And my simple take to Eagles fans is, congratulations on the 2,000 yards. If in this contract you don't take the next step as an organization, which is winning a Super Bowl, then you can't tell me the contract wasn't a failure.
You know, I disagree with him.
By the way, that kind of sounds like Evan's takes for the Knicks. And who else did he do that for? The Giants.
Well,
didn't he do it for the Giants?
I did it for the Giants?
Yeah, when the Giants went 9-7-1.
Oh, that you have to go further.
And they to go further. They won a playoff game.
And to show you I'm not just, you know, doing this to tweak the Eagles, I was told I was wrong by this on the show, but it was about my own team. I still consider trading for Juan Soto and letting him walk and not winning a World Series a failure.
Mm.
So, to me...
Okay. I get what you're saying. I think it's very complicated to find a perfect kind of comparison to this of... signing a very good player, having them have really great years, and maybe not because of him, you don't take that last step. So I want to give you an example that's very close to home to you and close to my home as well. In a few weeks at Barclays Center, they are retiring Vince Carter's number. Vince Carter, for those that are not aware, was acquired after the Nets went to back-to-back NBA Finals and lost in the Eastern Conference semifinals a year after. They let Kenyon Martin walk away. They then make the big trade for Vince Carter, and the Nets have marginal success.
Nets still in the league.
They never get further than the second round of the playoffs. We are glorifying Vince Carter in Brooklyn in a few weeks. Based on your criteria, that trade was a failure.
In many ways, it was, but this is where I'm consistent. I am not telling Eagles fans not to celebrate the career of Saquon Barkley when he's done, not to always love him and have him come back and wave to the crowd. All I am telling you is when you sign Saquon Barkley to a much publicized deal, the reason you're signing him is not just because you want a 2,000-yard season. It's because we made a Super Bowl and we need a finishing piece. That's it.
But they may not win a Super Bowl, and it won't be because of that finishing piece not being good enough. That's where I think you're wrong.
But then it would be because something else happened, and this would be my point. Your allocation of resources on the roster. You poured it into Saquon because you thought it was a missing piece. If there's another reason you didn't win, I know you can make a Super Bowl with a lesser running back with Miles Sanders. So maybe the money should have gone elsewhere.
So if Max Fried has a great year this year, dare I say wins a Cy Young, but the Yankees don't go to World Series, it was a failure? And they should have just reallocated the money to Juan Soto?
I want to make this clear. It's about the length of the contract. The Eagles can make the Super Bowl at any point in Saquon's contract.
Okay, same thing with Max Fried then.
Yeah. By the way, to this point, again, I said this on the air, I still love Gerrit Cole. I consider that signing a failure because they haven't won a World Series.
See, I just disagree with you. Because it's blaming Gerrit Cole.
It's not.
But that's how I take it, okay. And that's how I take it on Saquon.
It's also a different sport.
I'm trying to think where else they would have allocated their resources to. I mean, they have three all-pro linemen, offensive linemen. They have basically two all-pro wide receivers and Pro Bowl-level wide receivers. They have a Pro Bowl quarterback type, even though he's not like top five in the NFL, but he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, highest paid. Defensively, they're solid and sound. Like where are you spending that money?
Because
where did it need to go?
Because I'm obsessed with this. Where Philadelphia was debating spending the money, and their fans were, which is
cornerback
and safety, where they did hit on two draft picks. But the idea they're going to be young and experienced and that burns them in the playoffs. Like, there's going to be a reason
CJ
the Eagles
had
lose.
An unbelievable season. He's basically third in the league in interceptions. Well, and Reed Blankenship, the other kid, is amazing.
So if they're amazing everywhere, then they should go win a Super Bowl.
You are a sad person.
I'm not a sad person because I'm consistent even when it comes to my
team. In Philadelphia, what they're talking about, why they're not going to win a Super Bowl, has zero to do with any player. It's all about Sirianni.
Yeah.
That's the conversation.
Okay. And I think you're 100% right. Like, if they don't win a Super Bowl, that's going to be the guy, barring, like, an individual play that we don't see coming.
Yeah, like a knucklehead play.
Right. A bad penalty, a drop, what have you. And look, Saquon has a big drop. Sure, it's a different discussion. But you are, and I sort of respect it. Like, there's a part of me that's like, God bless you, man. You have been defeated. Like, you're wearing the L,
right.
And you're wearing the L in this discussion, but you're not giving up.
Yeah.
You're finding new ways to steal the W.
And remember,
I can't believe I'm siding with the Eagles.
Me either.
Here.
Sorry, guys. They made a Super Bowl with Miles Sanders. Sorry. That's you don't like the price to pay for the big stars? You go to the next level. And you want to talk about Gerrit Cole, Max Fried?
You're fighting something which you don't know is not going to happen yet.
Of course. And if it does happen, I will.
What happens if it does happen?
This is not the first time we've had this conversation.
Does he get a month-long L?
I was going to say year.
I have said this on this air, on this show, 15 times this year. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, then it is absolutely a success, and there's nothing I could ever say anymore.
If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, I'm going to have to redesign that thing and make
it Kelly
Green.
But I've admitted that. I've admitted there's nothing you could say. It was the right move if they
won the
Super Bowl.
All right, so Jen, I want an agreement right now on this wonderful January 8th. Is it January 8th?
Yes, okay. January 8th.
Tiki led to it. If the Philadelphia Eagles win the Super Bowl, you are wearing that L that will be permanently redecorated as Kelly Green until we get a new one and change it for 6 months. Every day.
Well, how about
six
week
months.
One of the NFL? If that's 6 months, then fine.
No, I think you have to wear it to a Giant Eagle game, too. Like, I think it's got to go even further. Ooh. I'll give you 6 months plus a Giants-Eagles home Giant game.
Don't matter to me. They're not winning the Super Bowl, so I'm good.
Fine, don't matter to me. Right, they're not winning anyway.
Clip it and save it, Loogie.
There's no, like, gymnastics you're going to play in a few weeks to get out of this? Like, this is bulletproof? Eagles win the Super Bowl.
This is something I've already said on the air, and I said that is the only time where you will get me to admit because I've already seen them make a Super Bowl at Miles Sanders.
Oh, there's a difference between admitting you're wrong and wearing the L for 6 months, including taking it and wearing it to a Giant Eagle game. You're agreeing to that.
Is that an Eagle game in Philly or an Eagle game in New York?
We have to see the schedule.
I think it's worse for him to wear it here.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it is. It's also fair. Like, I don't want to send you down there. Those animals are just they're brutal.
Yeah. Oh, they might actually champion him because they...
No, they won't.
Help them, lead them. I mean, they're not as vicious as they used to be.
They're vicious.
They tried to fight us in a suite.
That was because that dude was muscle bound and jacked up on something else other than steroids.
Tiki, somebody came up to me and Loogie at the place outside the stadium and told me to take off the jersey or I'm going to get my neck slashed.
That's because it was a Rondé Barber jersey. Yeah, they dislike him more than they dislike me. In fact, when I was at the Philly game, I was on the field because we had to do our hit for Tops, that other pregame show before the game. I'm standing on the field. This guy started yelling at me, Tiki, you were wrong about Saquon. He's better than you. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. And he goes, I'm just kidding, man. We like you too. You know, good luck. You were good. I'm like, dude, Eagle fans have gotten soft.
Wow, they have. That's an example of softness.
I didn't even have to fight. That's crazy. I just kind of like acknowledged that you were right.
Can you put that in the show archives, Tommy, that he has agreed to wear the L for 6 months, including a Giant Eagle game, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl?
Already have.
Okay. What I hate about this, really hate about this, is that I don't want the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
And they won't.
But they're putting me in a position where
at least it's for them?
Well, I wouldn't say root for them, but it's a win-win. Like, if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl against, you know, whomever, as long as it's not Buffalo, because I can't stand that clown Sean McDermott, I would probably look at it as, all right, I win either way. Mm. Either the Eagles lose and their fans are upset, or we get
the last Eagle Super Bowl, I actually watched it with Eagle fans.
Ugh.
I felt happy for them. It's the Fitzpatricks. They're Eagle fans.
Well, you're happy for them. They lost. Are you talking about the one they won?
No, the one they won.
Oh, the Patriot one. Okay. Yeah, that's a little bit different. We'll come back. We'll get to your calls. Plus, speaking of the Fitzpatricks, Ryan Fitzpatrick played for Brian Flores. Not related at all. Had a very strong opinion about Coach Flores. We'll listen to it and decide, does it impact our view on the Jets pursuing him? Before we take a listen to what Ryan Fitzpatrick had to say about one of my preferred Jet coaching candidates, we have a gentleman on hold who claims he may have some inside information about the New York Jets head coaching search. So, knowing that it may all be true, or it may all just be, you know, not true, I have no idea, let's hand the floor over to George in Farmingdale. George, you have some inside information you'd like to share with us?
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. First, let me say I really enjoy your show. Evan, like you, I am a Met and Jet fan.
Oh, lucky Tiki, us.
Yeah, unbelievable. Tiki, I really appreciate your perspective and your intelligence and spin on not being a fan.
Thank you, man.
And being a pro athlete.
Thank you.
Okay, so a very reliable source told me just a little while ago that the Jets have hired their new head coach, and there will be a press conference on Tuesday announcing who that coach will be.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, I could not pry that in the identity out of this person who claimed that they did not know.
I know the answer. And you know why I'm going to believe you, George? First of all, you sound like a nice guy. And the other reason I'm going to believe you is the last time we had a guy call up and say, I've got inside information, and we haven't circled back to this, but we can do it now. They were right.
Yeah.
They called in and told us Juan Soto is leaving the New York Yankees because he does not like Aaron Boone. Now, we never confirmed he doesn't like Aaron Boone.
Yes.
But here's what we do know.
He left the New York Yankees.
That's the one you went to?
What was the other one?
The Pete Alonso in Ireland, which also feels right now that he wants to be back and it's up to them.
Yeah, that's true. That's a
good
one.
Actually, that one is probably, even if he wasn't really in Ireland and that was just a made-up story,
yeah,
that actually feels like what Pete Alonso is going through right now.
I agree.
He really wants to be a Met. The Mets just aren't really wanting Pete Alonso right now.
Well, they're not willing to give him what Scott Boras is asking. That's a great point. So those are two examples in the last couple of months where we've had callers say, hey, I got inside information. We're open-minded. We take a listen. We warn you it may not be true. And they've turned out to be true. Now, let's just take a little walk here. If George is right that the Jets are announcing a new head coach next Tuesday, then I already know the answer. Because there are rules.
Mm.
And that person wouldn't be Brian Flores.
No, because he hasn't been interviewed yet.
He hasn't been interviewed and he couldn't be hired yet.
That's right.
He's still coaching. That means the biggest swerve is occurring and I love it. Mike Vrabel has swerved all of us. He got the Patriots to fire Gerard Mayo, have Bob Kraft all excited. I'm going to get Vrabel. He's even going to do an interview on Thursday. And Mike has already told Woody Johnson, I got you. Go through the process. Got to interview a bunch of candidates. But well, let's circle back early next week and let's shock the world. So if our last caller is right, it's one of two possibilities. Mike Vrabel, the other possibility is Rex Ryan.
Or Ron Rivera.
Right. Yeah, it could be, but it's not going to be.
I don't think it was. I don't think it's going to be Ron.
It's not going to be Ron Rivera. I'd be very surprised.
If it is somebody who's already done the interview, you're right. That's exactly who it's going to be. It's one of those two.
One of those two guys.
Well, Jeff Ulbrich interviewed too.
Stop. I feel bad, but stop.
Yeah.
That's called being a nice guy. You know, that's like, sure, come on, we'll interview you. So we'll see if George is right. Save the audio on that, and we'll circle back on Tuesday. If the Jets are having a big press conference, we can say George from, where was he from? Do we remember this?
Farmingdale.
Yeah. Farmingdale? Long Island. George from Farmingdale had it first. In fact, I will talk to the bosses that all the updates should say George, as first reported by George from Farmingdale on WFAN. Doesn't even have to mention our show. That's fine. We're selfless. George from Farmingdale on WFAN, as first reported, the New York Jets are expected to announce blah, blah, blah as the next head coach. Now, speaking of next head coach, Brian Flores is a guy that I really, really like. And I always say this, I'm open-minded, good and bad. I don't like to filter out bad opinions just because I really want something to be right, the way some behind the glass do, namely both of them. I listen, I'm open-minded. Maybe my opinion will change. Ryan Fitzpatrick, not only quarterback the New York Jets, but he was a quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. And he gave, I think it's his podcast, and he was with, what's his name, Andrew Whitworth?
Yeah.
And he gave this opinion on Brian Flores, told the whole story. So ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of Ryan Fitzpatrick's podcast or something, here's Ryan Fitzpatrick talking about the preferred candidate, not named Mike Vrabel, that I have, Brian Flores.
I think the interesting thing with Brian Flores, when I think about him and being able to play under him for a few years, is which version of Brian Flores are we getting? And in year one with Miami, take you back to that year, I mean, Miami got rid of every good player they had. And it was the jokingly called the tank for two a year. But I'll tell you, halfway through that year, we hadn't won a game yet. And there was a shift in the way that he was approaching his job. He was likable. He was relatable. He demanded a lot out of the players, but he was also able to get the best version of his players. And I really appreciated him for that. But as his tenure went on in Miami, he kind of became unrecognizable. A lot of the staff he brought over from New England, that was where, you know, he cut his teeth in the NFL, was there for 15 plus years as an assistant. But I think he's going to have a really hard time. If you're interviewing him as a head coach, I think in the interviews he'll be likable, he'll be relatable. But when people say, okay, give me somebody from Miami that coached under you as a reference so we can talk to them, I think he burned a lot of bridges there. I think he alienated himself from the entire staff. Instead of what you were just talking about, having the humility to ask questions, to collaborate, I think by the end of his time there, he became a dictator. He ruined a lot of those relationships.
What do you think of that?
That's interesting, because that's what happens a lot of times when you're trying to gain control of I want to say it was a difficult situation, because they won a little bit in Miami, but it felt like every year there was a new coordinator, right? Whether it was an offensive or defensive, it was just like there was a lot of turnover. And when you have that much turnover, it's got to be somebody's fault, and you don't want to admit it's yours. And so I think you end up getting really like insular. Like it's all about, you're not collaborating. Hey, tell me what your thoughts are on this. It's all just me. This is my decision. It's my thoughts. Nobody else matters. And you do end up burning bridges. Now, with that being said, Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably right. That is what Brian Flores, that's how he was. You've heard players talk about him. You've heard Tua talk about him. Like all this stuff. I think he's different. I think he learned from that. And so can be right, but we also don't know how Brian Flores is now.
Yeah, I think Fitz could be right. And I would say there's a reason why you're the former head coach.
Yes.
Like there's a reason why you're fired.
And by the way, that's why he got fired.
Yeah, because success-wise, especially in year one when they were, as Fitz talked about, they took all the talent away and they were supposed to tank. And they actually won more games than people thought by winning five games.
Right.
You look at the next 2 years, they were decent.
They were decent.
They were competitive.
Right. But ultimately, he didn't get fired because he wasn't a good coach. He got fired because there was so much turnover. It's like, dude, something's going on in that organization, and it's probably the head coach.
Yeah, I think that when you are about to take your second job, okay, and Brian Flores would be taking his second job.
Yeah.
There's going to be a list in those interviews where you're going to go through with the prospective owner all the things you learned
from your first job. Yep. And I would assume, especially if I end up hiring him because he had a good interview, Brian Flores is going to be honest about, yeah, I burned some bridges in Miami. Yep. Yeah, I didn't make the right decisions in terms of hiring staff. Yeah, I got to realize that you can't treat every single person the same. Like the way I treated Tua, you know, may work with someone else, right, but doesn't work with him. That's a part of being reflective. It's not disqualifying. I mean, there's a reason why he lost his job after 3 years.
Yep.
So it doesn't scare me. I think it's interesting. I think it's informative. But I also look at where he went. He went to the right places. He went to Pittsburgh. He spent a year under, for me, pound for pound, the best head coach in the NFL, mm-hmm, in Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
He then spends 2 years in Minnesota where he turned that defense around and I think has also learned from a very different kind of head coach, much younger head coach, right, a team that's had success in Kevin O'Connell. I would feel positive about him taking the experiences of the last 3 years and bringing it to his second opportunity as a head coach.
I would agree with you. We visited with him last year because Matt knows, I think they were in the same draft class, O'Connell and Matt Ryan were in the same draft class. And so we went out to practice and we got a chance to chat with Brian Flores. He seemed like not that loud, hateful, mad all the time guy. And so this was a year ago, but still it did feel like he had been reflective on how he was in his previous stint. There's no doubt about that.
Let's go to Vince in Basking Ridge, New Jersey. What's going on today, Vince?
Hey, guys. Because it's so quiet for the Jets, there's going to be Gruden, Wink, Tannenbaum, Rogers.
Oh, you want Wink?
Let Wink do anything he wants except for biting. and Rogers, and then you got first round, just take the best available. Second round, a quarterback.
Hold on, you said so much I need to digest.
All right, so
Gruden, Wink, Tannenbaum, Rogers.
Did you say Wink can do anything he wants but Biden or biting?
Bite.
Oh,
biting.
Oh, I thought you said like Biden, like the president. Like, what's he going to do with Biden?
No.
Okay, that's a very...
New Jersey accent, sorry.
I don't mean to criticize you. I just wanted to clarify what the hell you said.
Right.
What's Wink doing with Joe Biden, by the way?
Did Wink bite somebody and I'm forgetting?
Can you Google that and double check? Because I don't know about that either. I mean, maybe Wink did bite somebody. Did he bite Brian Daboll? Is that what happened?
I don't think so.
Did Vince just reveal information that we're not privy to?
I don't remember. If it happened, I don't remember.
Well, we got a lot of breaking news today here on Evan and Tiki. Not only have the Jets hired a head coach, according to a random caller, but believe it or not, Wink Martindale was biting Brian Daboll. Mm. And I don't think Brian liked it. All right, so what was his idea? John Gruden, Wink Martindale.
Yep.
Rogers is back.
Tannenbaum.
Tannenbaum. Yeah, look, I brought this up a few weeks ago, and now it's been copied by national hosts, and that's okay.
Right.
The Dick Cheney thing.
Mm.
I've told this story a lot, actually, that...
Hire me to hire your guy, but I can't find your guy,
right,
so please hire me.
Yes, that's what they did when George W. Bush was looking for a vice president. And by the way, one of the national people that ripped off this thought, mm-hmm, not that it's I created the thought, it's just I've used it a lot as my only point. Yeah. I've said it a lot over the years.
Makes sense for you as the political guy.
Yeah, I love it. I'm into it. And Bush is my guy, you know, mm-hmm, all that. One of the national pundits called Dick Cheney the late Dick Cheney.
No.
I swear to God.
What?
Yeah, he called him the late Dick Cheney.
Why?
Because he's an idiot. I don't know. I don't want to say he's an idiot. He just didn't know. I guess he assumed Dick Cheney was dead.
He's ignorant.
Maybe he's ignorant. I don't know. Dick Cheney is not dead.
Ignorant
Jimmy Carter just died.
Yes.
Do you think he confused Dick Cheney and Jimmy Carter?
No chance.
They're very similar.
And I think maybe because you haven't heard from Dick Cheney in a long time.
No, that's not true. I've heard from Dick recently. I've heard from Dick Cheney recently. He came out because him and his daughter were very anti-Trump, and as someone in the Republican establishment, right, that was like a biggish deal, yeah, at times. So I've heard from Dick. He's been around.
Professor Cheney, by the way.
Professor Cheney?
Yeah, she's an adjunct at UVA.
Oh, I thought you meant Dick. What's he up to?
I have no idea what.
Hopefully not shooting friends in the face like he used to back
but
in the day.
But it was a shotgun, so it didn't hurt him that bad.
That's true.
I'm glad you brought that up. The very brief morbid part of this, why does it take so long to bury a president? Why is Jimmy Carter's body only getting a DC today?
Because it's every place he touched wants to pay their respects.
Right.
And so he's going to lay in state and at the Capitol for I don't know how long until he gets interned wherever he's going to be interned. So it's what happens. So you do a ceremony in Georgia and on its peanut farm, and then you do it, I'm sure, elsewhere. And then ultimately you make your way to DC.
I would just say this. If I was a family member, and I'm not talking about like a direct child, let's say I'm a cousin or a nephew of Jimmy Carter.
It's the president.
I know
of the United States.
I know, but at some point I'd be like, how many commitments I got to make for like a week and a half? I got to go to 14 different things?
Think about how old our republic is. There's only been 48 of them.
I know it's a big deal. I'm
you know that's not true.
Right. It's actually 45 of them.
Yeah, because remember, we had two guys now who are going to be repeat presidents, so they count as a number.
Right.
See, this always annoys me when people screw this up. Not you. I'm not mad at you, but Obama screwed it up once, and I was really annoyed at him. Because I was like, bro, you know what you're talking about.
Right.
Like, I respect that he knows history, and he's like,
I was just thinking
he got the number wrong, and it bothered
me. I was just thinking of the number that we're on.
Well, hold on. Let me do the math here. So, Trump is 47, but it's really 45.
Yes.
That's how we do it. Because I'm confused again, too, because I always used to be like, don't forget Grover, don't forget Grover.
Presidents right now are a lot like NFL stadiums. It's not the amount of teams that are minus two.
It's not the... Oh, is that the same in the NFL because of the Chargers, Rams, Jets, Giants?
Yep.
Yep.
You know what? That's a good one. That's a great one. Now I'll never forget how many different NFL stadiums there are.
Right. 30.
30. Just like 45 different presidents. Please, I beg anybody, especially with Inauguration Day coming up in a week and a half, please don't screw this up. Mm. Like, it would actually piss me. You know who would piss me off the most?
What's
that? Trump screws it up. Because he knows he's been president twice. If he goes up there and he's like, I'm the 47th man to serve as president, I will be so pissed off at that. Because it'd be like, how, of all the people to not screw this up.
But it is his second, second term, though.
Yeah, but he's the same human.
Yeah, but it's his second, he's a different iteteration of himself.
I understand.
But he spent 4 years calling himself 45, now he really is 45.
Yeah, but no.
No, he's 47.
Now. He's 47. He's 45 and 47. Just like Grover was, I think, 21 and 23. Like, they get the two numbers.
Okay.
Right. So my point is, it annoyed me when Obama screwed it up. It kind of annoyed me when Tiki screwed it up. Mm-hmm. Let me just send out a little warning. This guy better not screw it up. You're one of the guys. You're one of two people who should know this better than anybody else. So preemptively, someone should get to one of his writers and make sure that that sentence is not used.
By the way, that's why there are 29 parties at the Verizon FanFest.
I'm so confused.
Because two Bristol stadiums, and obviously the Caesars Dome is not having a party
at
their stadium. But they are having an event. So there's 30 parties, just only 29 venues.
Yeah, those are the Super Bowl parties that Tiki is promoting. So you're at the Super Bowl. You're going to be at MetLife Stadium?
I'm going to be at MetLife Stadium.
You want to go, Sean? That'd be kind of fun.
To the party?
Lugie, you want to go? Forget Sean. I'm already done with him.
The Super Bowl party that Tiki's hosting?
Yeah.
Not really. I love it.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's in Jersey.
That's exactly it. Honestly, it's exactly it. If you told me this was existing at UBS Arena, sure, I'd go.
Well, we didn't invite you. Let me get back to Tommy. One last thing. What if I do something? I never offer to you, but I will offer to you. I will pick you up and drop you off.
Ooh.
What? Oh, hold on a second here. Hell, you froze over? I've begged you for that.
Because I think it would show support to Tiki if he's doing this big event that we show up and show support. Sean has already shown how selfish he is, but we could do it. Like, for me, MetLife Stadium is not that bad of a trip.
I mean, I normally host my own party. I never invite you guys, but I do host the party.
I was going to say, I've never been invited to that.
Well, it's a, you know.
Let me tell you something right now. Now you just made me out to be a bad teammate. If Tiki came to me, all fair person, said, hey, it would really mean a lot if you guys came. I don't care if the thing was 6 hours away, I'd be there for Tiki.
No, that's very nice of you.
Is this indoors?
Yes. It's in the coach's
club. Oh, I didn't know if it was like on the field or whatever.
No, it actually does sound like a good time.
I think you can probably go out there a little bit, but it's in the coach's club.
Yeah, I think I'm doing it, actually.
Going to need that ride, though.
Yeah, no, if you agree to come, I think I'll pick you up and drop you off. Actually, I'll pick you up. You get dropped off yourself. How about I pick you up and you sleep over Tiki's house?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I can finally meet Snooki. Yeah. That actually is pretty good.
There you go.
She's neighbor. We might have a cheer competition there.
Oh, nice. That'll be fun.
I mean, between my girls.
Oh, like a competition?
They just, like, that's all they do.
Interesting.
Jump around. You're not going to sleep because they'll be up all night doing cheer.
Tommy don't sleep anyway. He'll be good. Sounds like fun. Sean's got his Cinco de 5-0 list coming up in a few minutes. We'll get back to your phone calls. Why Aaron Rodgers may not make sense returning with the New York Jets, but the more you think about it, the more he does make sense for the New York Football Giants. 888-808-1019.